going on down there?
Hey everyone, it's WTF at TFW with finally another proper podcast. Yesterday I just tried to record us at the bar and it didn't go so well. It was loud. But I'm here with my new podcast co-host, Derek J. Wyatt.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
Not bad. I'm the only WTF guy here this year.
Yeah, it's weird.
I know.
I haven't done this in a while either. I'm a little rusty.
I couldn't rely on Seth to get me interviews anymore. I had to go and... David Sobolov was sitting at his table, and I had shuffled up, and I was like, "Do you want to do it?" So I'm gonna pester him a bit tomorrow during some downtime, maybe at like 3 o'clock or something.
Did you get to talk to any of the actors that were here?
No, yeah, I've only talked to Sobolov so far. I missed a lot of the panels. Mm-hmm. I've been running around doing all kinds of beeswax.
It's been a busy weekend.
Yeah, for third and first party reasons, in my case. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how BotCon's going so far. I mean, today we had the big Hasbro panel. That's, you know, on our end here.
Some fun stuff there.
Yeah, we got to see what Generations is doing.
Yeah.
Lots of comic stuff.
Yeah, and some beasts in there, too, which is...
Friggin' Waspinator and Rhinox.
Oh, my God, and they look so show accurate now, too. It's great.
A lot of IDW tie-in.
Yeah.
A lot of More Than Meets the Eye fan favorites popping up.
And wasn't there a... Cybertron Starscream?
Armada Starscream. He's the iconic one because he's got the wing sword.
Swords, yeah.
And it looks like they're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, he had a sword.
Crazy.
And I've been saying for years, if you're going to do any Armada characters, you should have done Starscream before Hotshot, honestly. Mm. But, I mean, that's just my taste.
Demolisher would be cool. He was kind of unique.
Demolisher and Cyclonus... The whole Armada line I'd love to see redone, because the design, base designs of them were so unique and weird and cool. And I felt, like, especially like Sideways with the motorbike
bike
with the heads. Like,
oh, yeah.
I would have loved to see a modern toy take on all those characters.
Was that a Microman thing originally, or was that
the bike, the head rider dude?
Didn't he have the two robots?
Yeah, they combined into like a little Microman kind of dude.
Yeah.
And then each half could become a head for him.
Hmm.
It was such a cool idea.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, it happened like, that was like when Aaron Archer first came in, so all the designers were like kind of restarting from the ground up. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, so Armada's getting some love. Scoop. Friggin'
Scoop.
Scoop. Yeah. Because they put up Scoop, and I was like, wait a second, isn't that the guy? And then they're like two little double target masters?
He actually has the target masters.
Yeah, both.
Like, what is this? Is this Hasbro? This is weird.
The guy I was just talking to, Josh Lamb, I was saying, like, hey, it's him and Clint Chapman. I said, it's nice to see, like, Generations. One of the weirder criticisms, but one I agreed with, of some previous Generations and Universe stuff, was they said it's all about the whole, pantheon of Transformers.
Yeah.
But that often came down to one figure surrounded by G1.
Yeah.
And that's not, like... I'm not saying that I don't like that.
Sure.
But it felt like a weird thing to see, you know, with the stated design intent of, like, you know, we want to visit everything. Like, I was like, where's the RID? Where's the Beast Machines? Where's the anything?
There's still a bunch of missing. But at least there are more this time,
To see another Armada toy blew my mind.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Were you able to sit in on the Hasbro panel, or is this all, like,
I came in a little late, but I saw really just in time to see all the new product coming out. So I was
I came in. I missed the Beast Hunter stuff. I came in during Construct-a-Bots.
Yeah.
Apparently the is a silent letter that's not there, but it's there.
Construct-a-Bots.
I came in time to hear Shockstrip, the best fake name. they were basically showing that you could mix and match these guys,
so
they made up names for some of the fused parts. So Shockwave and Dragstrip were fused together into Shockstrip.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, I like it. I buy that character.
Yeah.
Right the spotlight.
It is shocking.
The Construct Bot stuff, actually, tomorrow I'm going to be, hopefully, if it pans out, getting some hands-on with that to finally figure out how it feels and, like, how it works.
Because
that's been the missing link in the conversation about that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, none of us know how it works.
They're sort of, they have a kind of bionically feel to them.
And a lot of us today learned that they transform without coming apart.
Oh, really?
I guess you just learned.
Yeah. Neat. Yeah, I like the head sculpts on those. They kind of went with the more iconic versions of the characters rather than just doing you know, Michael Bay or something like that. You know, they literally feel very kind of classic, not necessarily exactly G1.
Yeah, it's like they're using like a really good like piece of the IP to bolster up this new.
Yeah,
I personally am calling it a new toy line. Like to me, it feels like it's Construct Bots, the toy line featuring the Transformers in its first go.
Hmm.
It feels like something that could eventually become its own thing,
sort of like Creo.
Yeah,
cross
yeah.
brand,
like a little bit more tied to Transformers than Creo was, and something that like there's so much passion for it from the Hasbro guys that it, like they told me they've been working on it for years, like just behind the scenes, like they were super into that stuff, and
that's cool.
I felt kind of bad at the panel when they had all these awkward silences where they were really pumped about what they're talking about, and they're like, and we're gonna be doing Beast Hunters. Like this is a 2014 Construct Bots, kind of like cricket, and I was like, oh man, I feel horrible.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not like I think this stuff sucks. I just don't know why I'm excited about it.
Hmm.
So
yeah, maybe it's one of those things. I feel like it was in Botshot's kind of like that, where like once people had it in hand and they were playing, you know,
yeah, like on paper, like, stuff, it kind of looked like, what is this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And the other big news of the Hasbro panel was the attempt to create a new entry point toy for kids, because apparently they've been having a conversation now for a while that Transformers are just too complicated for kids to get into. Well, like there are kids who will like them, but I kind of nailed down that this happened over the course of the live action movies.
Uh-huh.
That kind of like heads went into the sand trying to replicate those designs, and just I mean, anyone can tell Transformers have gotten very complicated and intricate, and it seems like the solution now is they want to go for just literally like things that are as complicated to transform as G1 Optimus Prime. It's kind of like their idea. Like that's how they're presenting it in a positive light.
I was like the ones that are more intuitive. Like you can almost feel your way through it. Like I thought like the animated Sentinel Prime was kind of like that. Like
a lot of the animated toys had that, and the Dark of the Moon Deluxes had that. Mm-hmm. Although most people never bought them because people were sick of the movie by that point.
Yeah.
That's what bummed me out, because I felt those toys hit the solution that to the problem of the Revenge of the Fallen toys. But it was too late.
Yeah. That's never gotten, like, R.I.D. hard.
No, again. No.
Like, those, I remember, like throwing one of those guys, like, like no.
Well, never that was, again. I just remember that was, like, in high school, I got my Car Robots toys.
Yeah.
And that was, like, I'd get back home from school and be like, all right, this afternoon, I'm going to transform Godfire Convoy. It's raining outside. I open all the windows so I can hear the rain. I sit there playing with my... arranging all the stuff.
Yeah, to like spread out all the pieces in like a map.
Whole kitchen table took over for that thing. So what they're doing to the headline of this sounds terrible, which is that the next wave of Beast Hunters, Deluxes, and Voyagers are basically the Cyberverse toys, but bigger.
Except the characters like whatever Center Twin is called is getting a toy. Right.
Well, he's already a Cyberverse toy. Oh,
but he's getting a bigger version too, right?
Well, yeah, like it's basically all of those toys are the Cyberverse toys, but they're larger.
Yeah.
So the Legion toys are now the Deluxes, just larger.
I see.
The Commander toys are now the Voyagers, just much larger.
These names make less sense to me every year. Can we just go back to Basic, Deluxe, Ultra?
It's Legends and Basics, basically. Okay. So the Legends are Deluxes, the Basics are the Voyagers.
Okay.
And now they're also bigger than current Deluxes and Voyagers. Huh. And so that headline reads bad, because that sounds like... I mean, we all know about the Chinese, the Chimengmeng knockoffs of like, hey, here's animated Voyager Optimus, but he's 12 feet tall. Which are, they're goofy things. And my initial reaction was like, I guess they're just going to cut out the middleman and do it themselves.
Yeah.
But I asked them, and I believe this was true. This is basically the most pragmatic way to get to this simpler approach and test it as soon as possible. Because they found that kids in the Fun Lab or whatever they...
the Hasbro Fun Labs.
Yeah, apparently kids in the Fun Labs would gravitate towards the Cyberverse toys. Mm. So they're like, what if we just make them bigger? And on paper, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But once you see them in person, they replaced all the ball joints with universal pin disc joints. The sculpts did not get inflated. The sculpts are still sharp. Which feels like the CAD models maybe got just increased as the base. There's extra sculpted detail on some of them, a few new accessories.
This isn't the Center Twin that got blown up, right?
This is the same thing. Yeah.
That guy was like deluxe size almost, right?
Yeah, that's how big they're making the Legends now.
I'm so happy about that. I loved that toy when it was small, and now it's 10 times cooler.
Yeah, like it's so the part that made a lot of people, you know, the fandom when they got their cynicism on.
Yeah.
Is it's the Legends toy, but bigger. Where are my elbows and knees?
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, I will say, like, some of them, if they had elbows and knees, I'd be way more into it.
Yeah.
But stuff like Sinner Twin or, you know, Windrazor, Cutthroat.
Yeah.
Those two are the ones that
don't
seemed...
they have knees already, those guys?
No.
No.
Cutthroat almost does. But
semi-knees.
Like, basically, like, the Legends toys right now, they've been carrying on a basic 4 points, which is okay. Ball-jointed shoulders, yeah, ball-jointed yeah, yeah. hips, which turned into universal joints. It's still pretty cool.
Okay.
I think what makes this work is, number one, this is not canceling out complicated toys. That's something I just confirmed.
Yeah.
They are not going to, like, it's good. It's not going to be one or the other.
Mm.
And, in fact, they said that that's what they used to try to do.
Right.
Was have either simpler or more complicated and make everyone like it.
Did they get rid of the 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, scale of difficulty?
I hope they did. It never made much sense.
It never made sense, yeah.
It was a price point scale, it felt like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think there's a really interesting discussion to be had once we mess, like, not even once we mess around with these, but once you get a better look at them and see that it's not just a bigger Legends toy, but It's building the Legends toy out of bigger parts with more durable hinges.
Well, those two that they had on display looked beautiful.
Like, yeah, they were sharp.
Yeah, I kind of cheesed over those guys.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, me too. But no, you know what made me do that? It was the idea that they would do all five and we'd have a much bigger Abominus.
Yeah.
Because I love that Abominus. Like, that Legion Abominus, like, you know, he's little.
Yeah.
He's five little toys, and as a bonus, they all stick together.
Right.
But there's something kind of cool about him, because you can just slap them together.
Well, you said you were checking it out for the connector points and stuff, right?
They're still there on those, because those two form the arms. So they have the least noticeable connector points, because it's just more pegs and holes.
Yeah.
And when I talk to all these guys, I keep saying, like, man, it sure would be cool if the other three got made.
Yeah.
And they kind of do the yeah, it would be. And
I wonder if it's one of those things that's like, well, depending on how well these two do, we could do the rest.
I'm really hoping that's where we can go. Because, I mean, this stuff is not for the adult collectors in any way, shape, or form. It's, in fact, specifically for younger kids. And
Why do I like it better, then? I don't understand.
Because you're a child at heart.
Oh, that's true.
Well, no, I like the look of those two Abominus guys. The Smokescreen and the Bumblebee particularly, I was really like, it's not clicking me at all.
Smokescreen almost looks like a prototype. Like, he was all white. Like, is there going to be any paint on this guy, or?
I think most of the paint's focused on his car mode.
Yeah.
Like the Legion toy. It's just, it's harder to notice on the small one.
Oh, that's right, because they're the Legion blown up. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to have to look at those again tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, well, you got to look at them and look at the joints, too.
Yeah.
That's where all the weird new stuff is.
Yeah.
And, like, the Commander toys, who are now Voyagers, Predaking and Optimus,
okay.
They have some new joints. So, the first thing
Optimus, they had all the green
nonsense.
Yeah,
he looks weird.
Yeah, I don't like the green.
But joint-wise, like, they added ratchet joints to his knees.
Oh.
So, because the thing
like
I was...
poses and stuff? Is that
yeah, the thing I was thinking was, like, are we going to have these weirdly limited posable Voyager toys that are enormous? But it seems like they're keeping it, like, the basic points of articulation, at least on the Voyagers. So, I think that generally, like, I'm speaking more so to the audience now, because it seems like you're pretty into, you know, at least two of them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And seeing them in person definitely is different than seeing them in pictures. Yeah. But I think that the doom and gloom around the idea, I would hypothesize this is not going to cause the end of the line in any way.
Wasn't that little Abominus, even though it was tiny, it was got pretty good response, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's hither and thither, like, because some people want their combiner to be a large man with hands and feet. But
I guess he was. Yeah, I don't
in
know.
In G1 he was, but... Yeah. I mean, this one carries it well, because, I mean, he has hands. They're just made of claws and
I have problems with some of the colors of the other ones, you know, that they're not... I don't even know where they... You know, like Hunger, I don't know where those colors came from. They're not Hunger at all to me. But I do like the... I don't know. It's cool. I just like seeing those characters. Like, I like seeing those guys come back.
I was really surprised that they did all five and put a combination feature in.
Yeah.
Like... Who would have ever thought Abominus would be the next guy to get an official toy?
Yeah. I know. We live in a remarkable age.
We live in an age where there's a new Blot toy and you don't like it.
Yeah, that's weird. I love all my favorites, like, Swindle, what happened? Stupid alternator head. Oh, Blot.
You look
Blight.
Too cool.
What the hell? Yeah, it's like, he's not just a lump anymore.
Yeah.
A little too defined. But, But then there's Waspinator, and he's, like, amazing. And there's two. There's the little Waspinator coming out, too.
That one comes out with the Legends Starscream.
Right? Yeah. I'm definitely getting both of those.
Yeah.
The Waspinator and Rhinox look so show accurate.
No, they're a beautiful love letter. Yeah. Like they were. There's nothing like, and I was eyeing that Rhinox because whenever we see these new toys, there's always that kind of, there's a glaze over us where it's like, oh, we're seeing this the first time. It's perfect. It's the most amazing thing. And then you get them in hand, you're like, oh no, wait, there's a blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So I got to take another look at him, but I tried to take a really close look at that Rhinox.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this feels like a toy that's really easy to get too excited about.
You have to get down on your hands and knees to look at that, because it was like on the bottom shelf. And like,
I was like, get out of my way! Yeah.
I was so swooning over Waspinator, I didn't look at him that. But like, yeah, when the slide came up, I was just like, oh my god. Like,
the Waspinator in the case is sadly a little mistransformed.
Yeah, he's a little empty in the, in the chest.
Yeah, he's got no gut. Speaking of which, Rot Gut.
Yeah.
That's a good new name.
Yeah, and he's a version of, was it Blight?
Yeah, Blight. I just call him Blot anyway.
Yeah, I can't. He's not Blotty enough.
I don't understand why. I mean, maybe because it doesn't sound cool enough, which I guess plays into your thing with it. Well, but like the word Blot, I thought would
some of those names. Like, I as I've been in the animation industry for a while now, that some of those names sometimes they're too generic to actually like.
Yeah.
Like, Blot might be too generic to copyright. I don't, and that's just a, one theory, but.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Because, like
that's Monzo.
Sinner Twin is now called Twin Strike.
Right.
And that works to a degree.
It's fine.
But Cutthroat is now Windrazor.
Yeah, and which is a different character, right?
Yeah. And, there have been a couple suggestions for punny names for those two that could replace these things. And
Butthroat?
Butthroat.
Did anybody bring that one up?
Well, he does have. Oh, no. You know what, actually. I don't. Have you messed with the new Blight?
No, not really.
Okay, the slightly blottish thing about him is he flips upside down to transform.
Yeah.
So that means he permanently has a head sticking out of his butt in both modes. So there's a little bit of nose monster, unpleasant little squat dude going on with him.
I guess if they'd done the other three more in G1 color scheme, I probably would like them better too.
Yeah,
it's like they just seem too far off to me.
Yeah, I mean they're. They're close to me, but the way I look at them is I run a filter on them almost of like they look to me like the G1 color schemes, but there's been some kind of color tweak to all of them.
I have the problem of having done my own Transformers cartoon, I had such rigid rules for the colors.
Yeah.
And this had been piling up in my head as a Transformers fan for years and years, and so when I got to do mine, I laid down the law, and
yeah, you're like, the Pantones are this.
Yeah. This Starscream will not have blue eyes. Yeah.
Speaking of which, the Machine Wars Starscream.
Yeah, although that's a pretty nice figure.
Yeah. It's the first thing that happened, though. I didn't even notice it. My friend Andy was like, hey, that Starscream has blue eyes, and I immediately like, oh, man, I need to wave that at Derek Wyatt immediately. But yeah, I found out something interesting. The guy who came up with the name Rot Gut is that Clint Chapman dude who was running the panel.
Oh, okay.
And did you see that knockout with the crocodile sides for Beast Hunters?
No.
The red car dude knockout?
Yeah.
So his Beast Hunters version has a crocodile theme onto it. So he's a crocodile car, basically.
Oh.
And he has a weapon. And the weapon's name is the Crocto Claw.
Wow.
And so this guy who made up the name Rot Gut said, I also came up with the name Crocto Claw. And I told him, like, you're two for two.
That's pretty good. Right? Yeah, I approve.
My eye's on you. You stay in this company for a little while.
Yeah.
I'd like you to name more things. And I was talking to the guy after our interview, and stuff like that, and stuff like the Sharktacon Megatron.
Yeah.
I told him, I was like, that kind of stuff is the silly. That's done right. That's like dumb in the right direction.
Right.
It's straight faced. It's not winking at you. It's not trying to not be dumb. It's just it's like we have a Megatron remold with shark jaw pieces all over him. He's colored like a Sharktacon, and he turns into a shark jet.
Yeah,
it's
almost like that weird, like, it feels like G2 almost, like where the weirdness was just off the charts, but kind of lovably weird.
Well, like the they remolded the Shockwave Cyberverse dude. Mm-hmm. From Prime, it turns into a tank, into that little bludgeon.
Yeah,
and that
looks great too.
And his tank mode is a giant stupid skull on the front. I love it.
That's great.
It's like you're no one. Everyone knows who you are in this mode. You're not in disguise. You couldn't resist putting a huge skull on the front.
Yeah, voodoo.
And it's your chest. was a mixture, I believe, of the it's like a very G1 bludgeon shell, but with a lot of the inner robot colors applied to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to look at.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't notice that.
It's got, like, green and stuff like that.
Huh.
I keep forgetting he had a tank in him.
Yeah.
I kind of forget about that.
Well, the other one that came out a couple years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
Still had a lot of green in too, didn't it?
Yeah, it turned into a green tank, basically.
Yeah. They've done some cool stuff with Bludgeon.
Yeah.
And then there's that Comic-Con Joe figure of Bludgeon coming out, which is, like, that would, I guess, would represent just the Pretender shell.
Yeah, that, I don't know why I'm not more into that figure. There's something about it. The colors are right.
Yeah.
The concept's right.
Yeah.
But there's something about it. I think I set myself up for disappointment because I heard the concept before I saw the picture.
Yeah.
And when I saw the picture, I was like, oh, it's just a G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of was hoping it was going to be like an armored G.I. Joe. Like with like he'd look more like the G1 shell.
Mm.
And he looks just more to me like a samurai with a skull head.
I mean, in theory, though, that's, isn't that what the Pretenders would ultimately want to be? They would look more like G.I. Joe figures.
It makes so much more sense. It's just for some reason my expectations for it were, they were too particular. I was Derek Wyatting out.
Oh, why is that an alternator's head? Why would they do that?
I love that that's still a thing.
What did you think about the Ravage and Baroness?
Those look really good.
I know they've been kind of teasing that for years and years now, and I've always been a fan of that. You know, so like,
and it's a good Baroness figure that I believe never got a proper release. That was the Resolute Baroness.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, okay. with the long coat.
Yeah, but she's more in the
classic looking style.
All black. Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, that SDCC set, they didn't actually talk about it here, I guess, because it's G.I. Joe's.
Yeah, that's funny, huh?
But it's a weird set because it's gonna be huge.
Yeah,
it's gonna have a giant Skyfire,
right?
And I was actually saying on the podcast, I don't know if you agree, but I actually thought there's two real weak parts of that set. Number one is Snake Eyes with green pants.
Doesn't he have an Autobot symbol or something?
No, it's just, apparently that's how Snake Eyes looked in the first episode of the cartoon or something.
Oh, okay.
Or how they wanted him to look. I don't know. What I wanted to see was Snake Eyes in like a Bruce Lee yellow and black jumpsuit called Bumblebee Snake Eyes, because they're the two guys who keep getting remade. And so it's him, and then there's a Vamp, which is a G.I. Joe Jeep that's Hound.
Yeah.
The problem with that is a green G.I. Joe Jeep just kind of looks like a G.I. Joe Jeep.
That's true. Hey, they could have done that as Swindle.
Yeah.
Oh, another missed opportunity.
Oh, they would have had the alternator head just pop up out of the middle.
Oh, those bastards.
He'd have been carrying a sign that's like, I hate animated.
Oh, Swindle. Am I the only one who truly loves you?
He'll return.
Yeah, someday.
He'll return. The SDCC stuff they had here, that Metroplex set with the decoys.
Yeah.
That was a neat little decoy homage that no one seemed to really... I never heard anyone say the word decoy.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
And they were the red and the purple that the old decoys were.
And I liked that some of them robot mode and some were car mode.
Yeah.
Or jet mode or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool little pack-in for this thing.
Yeah.
Did you at least look at a Metroplex while you're here?
I've seen them from afar, but I didn't have a chance to...
I haven't opened mine yet.
I saw somebody sitting with one like on his knee like a child, though. It's pretty large.
Yeah, and in that box he comes in, that's him with one arm off.
Oh,
so you actually have to connect one of his arms and he gets wider than the box he's in.
I was talking to Proto Man and he was saying that everyone in the fandom needs to buy this thing so they'll keep, it'll be a good idea and they'll keep doing more of this kind of stuff. And
then I
just kind of felt guilty after I didn't buy one, but then they were sold out anyway, so.
I was not going to buy one, but every time I came to the, I was like, no, I'm going to wait. Then 8 people would walk past me carrying them, making eye contact with me. And I was like.
And winking.
Well, the whole time, I was just like, damn it. Like this is peer pressure. Because now there's going to be a comment thread. Big Bad got like 200 of them. So I'm like.
Their table was stacked.
And apparently Hasbro, they actually had to clear whether or not it could be sold here right away. Because not like any kind of big legal thing, but I think there was like a quick discussion of like, are they able to sell that here yet?
Yeah.
Because it's coming out in SDCC in that version in like 2 weeks.
Whoa, right. Oh my gosh, that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
I need a nap. Well, so speaking of the legality of things this year, do you want to talk
third
about
third party toys all over?
Did you notice
all over
on the BotCon comic?
Yeah, on the
back. In the ads.
So
third party stuff.
Wednesday. I'm talking to Cook Sucks because he's the only guy I know who's here, and he was at the Wednesday customization class. So he got all his stuff Wednesday night. So we're looking through the comic, and I flip over the back. I'm like, oh, Robot Kingdom. I thought that BotCon doesn't like them anymore
because
they threw them out, or almost threw them out last year. And I'm like, wait a second, because Cook Sucks is like, hey, that's Hardbone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wait, that's Dunraker. That's Cogs. That's the fans want it. That's Uranos. That's There's like five different.
They're friends again.
and that's the primo ad space. So I bet you, because the Robot Kingdom guy is a little kooky. I bet you he paid a lot of money to put that ad in there. So at first I thought like, oh, this is a big troll thing. It's gonna be hilarious. It's gonna be a big argument. But then I go in the dealer room. And there's people buying Hexatrons. There's third-party toys all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. All the Constructicons. Like,
yeah. And I'm like, what happened? Like, all that arguing and the Twitter, spit that was all over the floor.
Oh, my gosh. It is 100% reversal. You know, it's crazy.
Well, I was asking Captured Prey. I was like, did anyone... Because Captured Prey said, like, once they saw everyone else with that stuff, they went up and grabbed some of their stuff and brought it down because they're like... Well, if TF Source is going to have, like, a stack of Hexatrons on the table next to, like, you know, Insecticons and stuff, like, we'll put some stuff out because we're not going to be the first ones they talk to.
Yeah.
And I was asking him, like, did anyone talk to anyone?
Yeah.
And apparently, like, maybe one guy looked around, but by that time there were seven tables, and he was like, we're not going to deal with seven tables trying to fix all this. This is going to... I'm predicting, small chance, this is going to become a bit of an ugly social media discussion post-BotCon. Because, I mean, I don't care enough anymore. I don't want to get into it. But, like, I don't understand.
It's like, I felt like I was waiting for the hammer to drop for years and years now, and it never has. And now I'm like, well...
Well, then it dropped for a year and a half, and then raised again.
Right, but only at BotCon.
Only at BotCon, yeah.
Nothing legal was ever...
No.
As far as I know, was ever, you know.
I don't know, the conversation about it got so ugly that I'm almost all just slightly a little peeved that, like, because I'm like, what was it all worth? What was it all worth, all that arguing, all of us trying to figure out what you're talking about? I don't know. This is going to be a discussion that I'm sure will be ongoing once we get back. I'm just going to spectate this time if I can help it.
Like you said, you know, I'm not that interested in either, so other people can take that and discuss it as they will.
I got into it a year and a half ago, and it left such a bad taste in my mouth that I was like,
I see.
I don't want to have this discussion again.
Yeah.
Especially if it's that the hammer's going to raise like this, it's going to be a cycle.
Yeah. And
I don't know, but it's hilarious.
It's crazy. I was like, you know, I was just shocked that I was like, what? How? Yeah. I thought all this was totally banned.
All the guys were setting up hotel parties for that stuff instead.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know.
I mean, is it going to get to the point where eventually, like TFCon, they'll be able to have a third-party panel, you know, at BotCon?
Well, apparently the Hasbro publishing panel, they to get across, you know, who some of these guys are, they're like, here's pictures of our collections. And I saw threads on the boards. Apparently some of their collections had third-party toys chilling out in them.
I mean, I don't know... I don't know anybody who doesn't have one, you know?
Well, that's why when statements were coming out of like, oh, no, people associated with this, none of them have any of them. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Prove it. but yeah, I've been doing a whole bunch of stuff up in the third party room with Mastermind's prototypes they brought. Mm. And they've got that chunked, like, super chunked Studio Ox spiky Predaking. Like beefcaked and... That was kind of cool getting to mess around with it because they're prototyping it now very much akin to a proper toy company. So they've got like they're up to the gray proto stage. So it's being cast in a weaker plastic, mostly to see parts fit.
Yeah.
And so getting to mess with that stuff, I was like, this is terrifying because I know that the gray stage is one of the most fragile and like I could destroy the process if I pull something wrong. So I won't repeat myself too much about that stuff.
Transforming toy, I can't even imagine. Like,
yeah. You know. Well, the guy who is doing the engineering on that Predaking, he's been posting a lot on TFW, almost too much. But the stuff he's posting is such an insight, at least into another company's way of doing this.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how like he got resin copies of the toys.
Oh.
And was taking some photos, and people were like, "Hey, can you combine them?" And he's like, "I already took like 15 photos. The resin joints are gone. Like they've gone flop because they're resin, right?"
Yeah.
And so he's like, "Here, I'll combine Predaking," and he just outright said, like, this Predaking picture with no arms is held together by super glue and blue tack.
Oh, jeez.
Because this is the resin.
Yeah. Yeah, those things are always breaking down and stuff.
Yeah, but it's cool getting to handle one of them. Like now I kind of know, like, I feel like I know in my own little way, like, what it was like being in on, like, a Transformers development of, like, you know, this is the hard copy parts fit. And, you know, the ratchet joints work for a minute. And then... But, yeah, that stuff's all kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, did you you must have gotten the word that Mech Ideas is planning to do some animated related stuff.
I have seen that. Yeah, I'm.
You're doing the Mario and Luigi.
I'm not sure if I should commit to an opinion on that.
You don't have to.
I mean, but... I am. I'm excited. The people's love for animated continues.
Yeah.
Let me just say that.
Well, I mean, I'm not expecting you to need to get in a conversation about it, but, like, to me, it seemed like it was inevitable that if... Because the third-party thing is generally G1.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me that if it was ever going to go anywhere else, the first place it would probably go would be the untouched parts of animated.
Mm.
Because a lot of those seemed... Like, especially once we got, the second almanac with all the unused, the gray proto pictures of, like, Marauder Megatron and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always sat there kind of going, like, well, it's almost like the plans are all just sitting there.
Yeah.
And, is anyone going to pick up the ball? And talking to some other third-party dudes, not necessarily manufacturers, just people heavily invested in that stuff,
mm-hmm.
The conversation I had with some of them that was interesting was whether this will even be as popular as I think it's going to be.
Because,
I mean, there's a loud, loud part of the fandom that love animated still.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so... Like, it's, I don't know how many years it's been now, but it's yeah.
Well, 5 years since 08.
I still feel it, though. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, people, I know in BotCon is a unique place, but, like, there are, like, 20 times a day people coming up to me going, tell me how much they still love animated. And,
yeah.
I don't know. It's cool.
So I assumed on my end, before I talked to anyone, it's like, yeah, third-party animated of, designs that never got to be toys, particularly the Constructicons, seemed like inevitable. Because the Constructicons especially, they seemed like they were like two steps away from being toys for years.
Yeah.
And someone
But why the Constructicons particularly, you think? Because they were in more episodes
I think because they were in the show, they had lines, they had character. They even had like two Deckos.
Yeah.
So I felt like they were the logical place to go first, although...
They're so unfinished, though, to me, too. Like,
they couldn't
really do a Devastator unless somebody went back and figured out how that worked,
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I think that's... Isn't that the draw? Do they stand on their own?
To me, they stand on their own. Like, to me, the Devastator thing, because it never was fully realized, it's a fun bonus.
Yeah.
But in the show, they were such characters on their own. That I cared more about having representations of them than a combining thing.
Hmm.
Now that I'm at this point. When they were on the show, I was like, oh, they're going to combine. It's going to be sweet.
I think they were supposed to, and then, because Devastator was in the movie, they were like, let's not do it.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, okay.
But now that I saw, when they revealed Huffer and Pipes, I was like, well, that actually makes sense because those are two easier, somewhat simpler designs to test the waters with.
Yeah.
And people made the point to me that just because I think animated is going to be popular doesn't mean it's going to be, it's like G1 popular.
Right.
And I think that's going to be the interesting thing to watch when the Toon Titans, whatever they're called, come out. What are they called? Mechanical Toon Titans? I can't remember anymore.
Ugh,
Toon is in the name.
I hate the word Toon. That's awful.
it's like
that's
an... It's
that's
an analog name to animated. Well, they're also Toons.
Oh, God. Like Roger Rabbit had it right, where Toon was like almost a racial epithet against cartoons. That's how I feel. Insulting my peeps.
But I believe they said they're hoping... Well, Sino Kibble basically said we can all beat them up if they have nothing else new to say about that line in a month at TFCon.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully we'll see something there.
Mm.
And... like I said, I think it's the main thing that most people are wondering about is if you even know about it, and clearly,
yeah, I do. And I've, I think somebody linked me. I think it was TubeSmith linked me to the discussion that was going on TFW, where somebody did a kind of a breakdown of the shapes of the toys and the shapes that were in the animated cartoon.
That was a great post.
It was pretty good, yeah. I was like, wow, this guy's paying attention. Yeah.
Yeah, and Mech Ideas, they're one of the companies that are doing the new thing of actually really interacting a lot.
Mm.
And they did some good posts in response to that, saying not necessarily we're going to do exactly what you say, but we hear where you're coming from, and that post was a pretty good post.
Yeah.
And I think they also said, because they were showing us the CAD models, not the physical models, they were like,
right,
3D CAD plus the animated style is going to look weird no matter really what we do. Mm-hmm. You got to wait till we can show you physical prototypes, which had me saying almost don't show the CADs for this line because they're always going to look really awkward.
So are they, using those just as a starting point, and then they're going to sculpt them?
I believe so.
Oh, okay. Well,
I believe that's how they, because they have multiple designers. They do a lot of their stuff in CAD, I believe.
Yeah.
But this is Mech Ideas. I'm mixing them up. But Mech Ideas, I believe, uses a similar process to Mastermind.
They were definitely CG models, the ones I saw.
Those were, yeah. And I believe they use that as a basis, and then especially with this line, hopefully they do some physical tweaking to get that curvature, very particular curvature.
Then, remember, angular circles.
That's right.
like everything's a Flintstone wheel.
Where were we? So we went to third party. I was talking about some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see the big ass third party six shot, the Hexatron?
I saw a couple of people carrying it around, but I didn't see it out of the box or anything.
Okay.
How much was that going for?
I think it's $125 or something.
Mm.
It's a pretty cool toy. I got my review copy. While I was here, and I spent about an hour messing with it. And that's a big toy full of really solid ratchets. They spent a while tweaking that one. Oh, and you might like this. All of his hubcaps, he has six wheels.
Yeah.
And all the hubcaps do the animated prowl trick. So they're all shurikens.
He has six shurikens. Oh, yeah. Ninja Consultant, six shurikens. That's pretty cool.
And his helmet can come off.
What's underneath?
A face. Because
a man's face?
They're going to do a Great Shot and a Shadow Maru, or they want to.
Oh.
And so to facilitate that, it looks like they're just making it so he has this base little face with like a brain showing and like no skull.
Oh, wow.
And then like helmets that go down over top.
Crazy.
So it's kind of interesting. But the animated prowl trick, I thought, was just, it's kind of a neat little bonus. It's like,
yeah, for a ninja, that's great.
Just load him up with shurikens. He's got two big-ass katanas.
Wow.
Just a little addition of theirs.
Did you transform and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
How are the modes?
Modes are pretty cool. Everything locks.
Is it a polar bear? Is that what he had?
Like the wolf thing?
Yeah, it was a wolf.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. This is like six shot with a lot more spikes and curves on him.
Yeah.
So the wolf mode is like vicious looking because it's got all these huge claws now and a pointed nose rather than a big square nose.
Wow.
It's an interesting toy, and it's had a long development.
Was it Great Shot who had the bear then?
I think so.
It's all a blur now.
Yeah, Shadow Maru was purple. That's... Anyway, what else is going on here at BotCon? I missed a bunch of panels, unfortunately.
Did you go to the Fun Pub panel?
No, I didn't. But yeah. I heard about the new...
That was pretty exciting.
The new figures, Rampage.
Yeah, oh my god.
Did they show a picture of it?
Yep.
Okay, I need you to tell me how it looks, because I'm envisioning a Rampage jet thing.
Yes.
And I don't quite see it.
So first of all, it's Protoform X.
Okay.
It's pre-Rampage, right? Before he... And I don't... Like, well, you know, Megatron's got that mouth on his stomach, the Prime Megatron.
Yeah.
So it looks like the crab mouth in the... And they painted it... I think it even had that faded... That, you know, the red faded into silver or whatever, you know, like the original Rampage.
Yeah.
It looked awesome, I thought. I was pretty excited about it.
Someone's asking me what I'm doing.
Oh,
recording with DJW.
Is this one of those call-in questions?
Yeah. What are we doing right now?
A listener wants to know.
Well, now that makes a bit more sense to me, because someone just told me like, oh, it's the Jet Megatron Deluxe and it's Rampage, and I was like, what?
but even the Jet mode was like.
Because then,
being his pre-beast form.
Yeah, because it is kind of crab shaped.
It is, and it's got that mouth on the front that looks like when they paint it like that, it looks totally like Rampage.
Yeah,
and it's.
I know I'm getting that figure because I signed up. I signed up after the cutoff for Depth Charge, so that's my freebie figure.
Oh, okay. Did you pick up Depth Charge?
I did. I was not super into him until I saw him in hand.
He's pretty cool.
He looks way better in person.
Yeah.
Than the mock-ups made him look.
I think I was excited about it. I just like any Beast Wars callback, though, too.
Something about it where I was kind of like, it just looks to me more like a cool redeco of Terra Dive, like in the mock-ups.
But you had Terra Dive.
Yeah, I did.
And you were really, really excited about Terra Dive. I never really got him, and then I, you know, so this Depth Charge is my first version of that.
Well, it has such a cool trick they threw in with the way the silver chest reveals.
That's weird.
It's on the underside of all the wings, and it's kind of cool.
It's cool, but like, as I was transforming it, I was thinking, you know, the way they colored the cockpit and stuff... It kind of would have been cooler as, you know, with the cockpit chest, like a typical Seeker, but whatever. Yeah. It's still really... And, the way his face lends itself to both Depth Charge and Machine Wars Starscream was kind of freaky.
No, I mean, like I was legitimately impressed by the way they colored the head to get Machine Wars Starscream out of it.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I see it. this guy is small, and for some people, that's going to ruin the Machine Wars Starscream thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to argue with them, because
right.
if they wanted the size, of course it's going to ruin, because he's a deluxe. But,
well, Stryka's just a deluxe, too. She's
Yeah, and she looks kind of weird next to Obsidian at times.
Yeah, it is weird. It's weird. It's like their roles are reversed.
Yeah.
But they're really nicely done. Like, and they, I love that they used, of course, I mean, of course I would love it, but they used more of the animated kind of palette for Stryka.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about Obsidian, the animated palette, of course, that's kind of cool. With Obsidian, the thing I had this discussion with XV Braun for a while.
It's really cool.
With Obsidian, you know the darker,
yeah,
like metallic-y green parts.
Yeah,
I went into this thinking that we had that when they said we're changing them to show colors, I thought that meant that was the color the whole guy was going to be, and for some reason I find the olive military green. Kind of gray green that he is.
Yeah.
I find it a little boring.
Really?
For some reason. Like, it just doesn't. I think I just set myself up for. Because the toy color one, it was interesting, but I was like, oh, but, you know, Obsidian could finally get the chance to not be bright green.
Yeah.
And,
I never cared for that scheme, so.
Yeah, but. Yeah,
but I don't know, to me, like, with, you know, he's got all the cool red accents on him, too, and it's not just a flat gray. There's, you know. Yeah.
Well, no, the bits and pieces of it I like. It's the that base color. Something about it just doesn't jive with me. Like, because I always, I mean, I have a very fuzzy memory of Obsidian, but yeah. I always think of him more as, like, the metallic, like, really dark metallic green.
I think he was pretty gray. I mean, I think they did a pretty accurate job of...
I don't know. There's something about it that... And I think that also, when he and Stryka showed up in the box set, they kind of got a stigma of, in my mind, of, like, they're crashing the Machine Wars party, and they're...
You fell for that nonsense? Like, I totally saw it as soon as, like, I think what they did... exactly fit my headcanon timeline for you know the Machine Wars leading up to the Pax Cybertronia, you know, with Obsidian and Stryka being the great generals that
I think that, like, fitting them in it they were two characters who could fit in that slot.
Yeah,
but I mean, like I when they showed up I was like, suddenly these two, whoa what are they doing in there?
Rocking out.
Yeah. Anyway, suddenly these two became the focal point of the set.
Yeah. As well they should, my mind, anyway.
I mean, the way they became the focal point, I when I recorded a quick look with Andy, the way I put it, and I still kind of feel this way, is if those two had come out as subscription figures,
yeah,
I think I'd have been more into them. Hmm. I don't know why. I think that just the way that they were released through the box, it added this weird, like extra layer of expectation on them for me.
Huh.
I said, it's completely my fault for setting myself up so much. But I built them up way too much in my head. As like, these are gonna be the perfect Stryker Obsidian. If they're gonna stick them in Machine Wars, they're gonna be perfect, and it's gonna And
I think they are the best representations of them to date.
They're the best ones so far, for sure.
Other than the Beast Wars Returns ones are, you know, a step in the right direction, but these are better.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. I don't know. Something about them just ended up not clicking with me, and the only thing I could find as a root cause
makes me sad.
I'm sorry. I was just like,
my botcon's ruined.
That's right. Also, I love Alternator Swint.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
I came at them, and I was like, what if these were subscription figures? And I was like, somehow I feel like I wouldn't be thinking of the nitpicky things I'm thinking of.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's like, weird. It's kind of like the venue almost adds expectations for me.
Hmm.
Because there are several, before I sound like I hate the whole set, like, there's plenty of those figures, actually, that I really quite like.
Yeah.
But another example of venue setting expectation were the Rainmakers, where I was just, like, not able to, like, the concept is great, but the delivery, I was just like, man, like, they're all the same paint apps put over three different plastic colors.
That actually saves them cost, though, so they can do that. Otherwise, but, you know, if they... So they would either only be able to do one color across the board or the selection like that. There's been other times when they've done that with... It's interesting.
I was looking at them and I was just like, if they were somehow more shiny or more more metallic or something. And the thing that kind of clinched it for me that I never thought about until a couple people told me they felt this way was Sunstorm with black gloves... feels weird.
Yeah,
because
he's a little... well, we have better Sunstorms already anyway, don't we?
Not on that mold. No. Okay, CHMS did a knockoff of it.
Hi. Hi. Do you want us? Should we have them say hi? Oh, they're gone already. Those are my Japanese fangirls.
Yeah, I watched you drawing pictures. Sound a Weibo. But that Sunstorm, CHMS did a knockoff of the classic Seeker mold in yellow.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think there's ever been an official toy. You doing Sunstorm in that way.
Yeah, you're right.
Whoa.
Here we go again.
Oh, man. Oh, and he's holding the door open. What is going... The town and country room, ladies and gentlemen.
Guy in a black Civil War coat just came out of like a Aretha Franklin concert.
I want to see what he looked like in there. Anyway, the Rainmakers, to me, were what I don't want out of a troop builder set. Mm-hmm. Like three guys who are a great idea, just delivered in a very flat way.
Mm.
And they were the disappointment of the con. If I was going to,
but those were the ones that sold out the quickest too.
I don't understand it. Well, I have a lot of friends who were asking for them too, and I was just like, I don't dislike that you're into them. It's just, they are so flat to me.
You know, here's the thing. I thought they were fine, but it was 1 year where I didn't buy multiples of the troop builder set. You know, and usually,
well, because they're three characters.
Yeah, they are. That's true too.
And that was the other thing that I found weird.
The purple guy isn't he like?
Well, they all have the names. Generic. Like
they just gave him names.
Right? I know. But in the fiction, the Auto Troopers and the Sweeps and the Sharktacons,
Junkions,
they all had their own.
The Junkions were
and the Junkions too. Yeah, because they were the riads for the you'd buy two of them, man. And give them all bikes.
That's the best.
It felt like after so many years of just this getting the troop builder right.
Yeah.
This year it kind of felt like something got missed there.
Hmm.
And especially what surprised me was this year has this big clone story thing going on. Where I was like, you could totally do Reflector out of Perceptor. I mean, it's...
Didn't they have a head for that or something?
Yeah. And so I was like, they, Rainmakers.
Well, I wonder if they couldn't, because of Magnificus or something, because that seems maybe. Although...
Because Magnificus is a different head than the Reflector head, I thought. Yeah,
but it's still the same mold, you know? And sometimes, I know sometimes they can't use... The molds that Takara are using currently or something. There's always a thousand things.
Something about the Rainmakers... the Rainmakers were my... They were my face flat on this one. Because, Obsidian, I say disappointing, but it's not like... It's not like, oh, I don't even want the figure. Whereas, the Rainmakers... I'm going to hang on to them for a bit because they look neat, but they look like mainline toys amidst premium toys.
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with that. It's like... But although, you know, the Games of Deception was kind of like that too, I guess. If they, you know, Thundercracker was just Thundercracker.
Yeah.
Although they did new wings for the other ones, but...
Although in that case, that was almost a really weird one-time situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Of very particular character-driven stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of winners, Machine Wars Starscream.
Yeah.
Definitely in my top three.
He's cool.
And the two-pack of Electro and Sandstorm.
I haven't transformed Sandstorm yet, but I love Electro.
Just those three. Those are my top three. And usually, I find the two souvenir two-packs, my favorite souvenires are going to be one and one. I'll have to buy both two-packs to get my two favorite souvenirs.
Uh-huh.
This time, they were both in the same pack.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, yes, these are the winners.
mine are definitely Obsidian Strike, and I love the concept from the very beginning, but, I don't know. It's weird with me. Sometimes, that alternator swindled head just, sets me off. I can't stand that swindle figure. But, I thought they were great. I love Strike. Strike is one of my favorite characters. And they did such a good job with her.
Yeah.
Even though she is kind of small for Strike. But
well, I don't really have any problems with... Again. Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have any real problems with Strike. I think she's fine. And actually, I will say I like Blast Charge more.
That's weird.
I don't know why.
You know that on the bio, I guess Blast Charge is a boy, as a male.
Yeah.
But if he has Striker's body, shouldn't it be female? That's weird.
I don't know. And I don't know why that Blast Charge really does it for me. I have some weird, weird attachment to the old Blast Charge toy.
See, I'm the opposite. That was one of those things where I was like... Didn't he come out before Striker?
Yeah.
And he was like...
He was the surrogate Striker.
Yeah, what is this weirdo who's not Striker doing in the shelves? And then they came up with that other Striker that was not weird. That much better either.
Yeah.
So that's kind of I'm kind of grumbly angry about that. But
yeah.
But it does look nice. It came out nice, and I just, I don't know, something about Strika's colors, that kind of purple and orange, and it just, it's perfect to me. I really, really love it. So
yeah. Well, yeah, it sounds like, so you're pretty much like, your hits are Obsidian and Strika.
Yeah.
Mine are like, Sandstorm kind of just coming along for the ride in a way.
Yeah.
But I thought the leak we got of him was photographed in a way that just made him look terrible.
Oh, okay.
It was overexposed, and I was like, oh, really? This looks bad. And seeing him in person, it's like, this is a perfect military helicopter with like this intricate camo design, the tiger stripes, the MP. I was like, this is cool. And Electro just hits out of the park for me. Like, that's... Yeah. And that's a part of Transformers I love.
He's so gaudy. He's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the only weird thing about Electro, he has, like, the G2 symbol on the front.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like... This guy feels like he's from BotCon 2010.
Yeah.
Like, he almost doesn't really belong here.
That's okay with me. Like, I'm more than happy to add more G2 guys into my,
into
my fold.
But, yeah, those guys and that Starscream. I can't believe that Starscream is free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remembered the third Collector's Club figure. Did we talk about that, or was that a different conversation?
No, it was a different conversation.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What was it?
Treadshot.
Right.
Yeah,
it was weird. I was talking to...
Wait. Gutcruncher, right?
I don't know. I was talking...
Who's
I was talking to Monzo about it. He said it was like...
It's the Warpath mold. The Pretender...
But that was Treadshot. It was Treadshot.
My gosh, my brain is dead.
Because he said they're doing... they're taking Prime Wheeljack and doing Chrome Dome.
Yeah, yeah. So
and I want to know if it's an IDW Chrome Dome or if it's...
Well, I think so, because that's what they sort of were hinting at, was that... they had this kind of, it was supposed to be a little more cohesive set. Like, it was one storyline, and then they found out that Hasbro was doing stuff like Swerve, and they didn't come out and say that, but I think what they were going for was kind of a IDW.
I think that would net me more into the idea of the subscription service.
Yeah.
Because I, also due to monetary reasons, I didn't do the first one. Because I was like,
better pick up that jackpot on the secondary market, Mr.
No, jackpot I already have secured.
Okay.
I secured him right away. Because I don't mean to say anything, but a lot of people were like, hey, who wants a jackpot? And I was like, I do.
This guy's fools. That happens
fools
every time.
Fools and posers don't understand the genius of jackpot.
That's so weird. Like, I don't know, once people see it, they'll be like, oh, man, when did I get that? Easy.
That was
so
one of
cool.
my top figures. Because, I mean, well, so, like, some of them don't do anything for me, but... Jackpot, I was like, yeah, more animated toys, because what needs more toys right now, and what needs more, especially like, just because we're still in that 5-year window,
and
you know,
and
like,
not only animated needs more toys, but Jackpot. Action Masters need more toys.
Yeah,
those are
well,
the
that, that's one they're doing a because the Tread Shot's an Action Master,
yeah.
But yeah, like, so if they are gonna, especially if they're tying in with the IDW thing, that has my attention a whole lot more than... Because when they had that comic page showing the subscription service figures kind of playing poker, I was like, that's cute, but...
But they didn't really follow through with that, right? It's not like...
Not that I know of, no.
Multi-unit, well, Hasbro is kind of... It seemed like they have kind of been poo-pooing the multiverse kind of thing lately. But I love that idea of like oh, here's six characters, each from a different universe, and they're, you know, kind of pulled together to do this kind of quest or whatever.
Yeah,
I think that would be amazing.
I mean, it's cool, but it could be cool. But there was an aspect of it where I was kind of like, I don't know, something about it just kind of made me just say, that's cute. I mean, they're all playing poker. There's a weird looking Slipstream.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see how they turn out. Like Scourge, once I saw the in-hand photos, I was like, cool. They nailed the teal.
Yeah, he's my. I know he was probably. On the boards, the one people are most excited about, I'm least interested in him.
I mean,
we got him first. I'm like, meh. I just put him in my closet. I'm like, oh, I'll wait for the other ones.
Yeah, with him, I got mold fatigue on that mold pretty fast. We've had so many copies of it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, the only thing that really has me going for him is actually a third-party group who are they made a trailer for that mold.
Oh, right.
And they showed a picture of their one for Scourge where they make him into this demonic Nova Prime.
That's cool.
And he's got like a huge cape with actual like chains holding it all together. And I'm like, okay, that's okay.
To me, with Scourge too, like, we've had like 50 billion Nemesis Primes and Scourges over there. You know, they're kind of interchangeable to me.
Also, I would have preferred to see Scourge done with the skull face.
Oh, huh. Interesting.
That would have made me a bit more like, just to do a Nemesis Prime or a Scourge with like the. Just go full demon with them, and I don't know.
Plus, like, that Scourge can't exist for me in a world where, you know, Scourge has a beard.
So. It's true. It's true.
It's just weird.
Well, just, it's under the faceplate.
You know? Well, it's not a flying boat.
So what else? I think we covered a lot of BotCon today. There was the G1 panel, which apparently was Wally Burr getting a lot of questions.
Wally Burr.
And poor Jason Jansen kind of just chilling out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got to find that guy. I got to talk to him.
I was last TFCon, I was there, and Wally Burr was there. And I was in Wally's panel, and he's going on and on about how, well, that's why, you know, they have all the voice actors here, and they never have any of the artists from the show. And I was like, Wally, I'm right here. Hello.
Yeah, apparently, because, I mean, they had this panel with him and Jason Jansen, yeah. Tommy Kennedy,
okay.
Doing the G1 retrospective, and all I could think of was, like, I don't think those two ever met.
No.
Jason Jansen's from a period where Wally Burr's role in the franchise was over, because Jason Jansen was the kid for the reruns.
But he was filmed, though, right? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't, like... So Wally wouldn't be voice directing him because it was a live action shot. So they may have never.
Yeah, there was something really weird and Star Wars about Jason Jansen as a guest.
Really?
Yeah, like you know, with Star Wars, where like, hey, we've got the guy who is the stormtrooper who said these aren't the droids we're looking for. Where it's like, well, that's neat. I don't know what I'm going to ask him for an hour. But
wasn't Monzo there to ask him all kinds of uncomfortable questions?
I'm not sure. I didn't make it to the panel. Before I hit the end of this, anything else? Oh, Glenn Morshower had a panel, which I missed. Podcast listeners are going to murder me for that.
Oh.
Because I don't know if you know, I've been building up a bit of a Morshower mythology.
Oh, really?
Because I think he's actually the main character of the live-action movies, because he's in all of them.
Uh-huh.
And he's also in the ARG on YouTube, and he's in all the video clips for the live-action movie Ride. So he's the focal point of the whole thing.
He's like the Nick Fury of the...
Except he's not going to be in 4.
Oh, he's not?
And so I'm like, well, what's the point of Transformers 4 if he's not going to be in it? So,
I don't know what the point of that is.
He has a panel tomorrow that I really should try to get to, because I want to talk to that guy. But the thing is, everyone said I should... They're all like, oh, are you excited about Morshower coming? And I'm like, the Glenn Morshower I've created in my head probably isn't the one from real life.
That's the problem with coming on this podcast sometimes. It's like, I remember I was on the one where you were talking about your scalpel, you know,
yeah.
Like what he should be in the movies, and it was like, then he was, of course, he was nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, like, why?
Like, yeah, we all had this really cool idea.
Why is this fan fiction better than the actual movie?
I mean, in my case, it was really silly, because I also just, like, Glenn Morshower just is, he's in all the movies, but for a total of about 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he dies in the first movie and comes back in the second as a completely new character called General Morshower, right? So I was just sitting there going, like, man, in movie 4, they got to have the Pretenders. And they gotta have Glenn Morshower, clones of him as all the Pretenders, like Glenn Morshower in an Octopunch suit with his face painted purple, and so, you know, that is the Glenn Morshower I get excited about, the one who will never actually exist.
Was that big that big military truck? That is Hound.
Apparently, I don't know.
What in the world?
I don't really. I mean, with the movie first, I don't really care what they do with the names. I'm just like,
it's such a name slap. Like anytime, I don't know.
Like, I mean,
I give up.
With the, like, we've got listeners who keep saying, like, oh, you guys should talk about the vehicle reveals more. And we talked about them once when we had, like, you know, when that Hound and, like, the new Prime and all those cars came out.
Man, those cars are the most boring race cars I've ever seen in my life.
I was just like, well, when we talked about them, all I really had to say was, like, they're pretty cars that I'd like to have turning into robots. I mean,
I look at those cars and I'm like, I don't want a toy of any of those guys.
I don't know much about cars at all.
They look like bars of soap.
Yeah, I mean, they're modern egg race cars. And I was like, hey, if there's one of those on my desk that's this big and shiny and I can turn it into a robot, I'm not going to be mad. But until I know what that robot is, I don't have much of it. And so I feel bad because there's a lot of people who are like, you know, you guys should speculate more on the movie vehicles. And I'm like, but how? Like,
they're like really fast looking Priuses.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I just like that they're bright colors.
Yeah, but they're all the wrong colors, dude. It just drives me insane.
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm looking at them as these aren't any Transformers.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Like these are. Like,
I wish I gotta be able to do that myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they just had like there's this mysterious truck cab that's all black with bits of like teal lighting in it, and people are like, "Is that Motormaster? Is that Nemesis?" I'm like, it might just be Huffer. I mean, we don't know.
Like, Huffer is a galactic evil overlord in the movie verse.
I would be cool with that. I mean, it seems like that would suit him. You know?
Would.
I have weird ideas sometimes.
But they gave us scalpel, so we can all be thankful.
Man, imagine if scalpel had such... He would be such a cool dude in the movies if he had more of a role.
We had Corey Burton on Ben 10 does a sort of Ludwig von Drake sounding character.
Yeah.
And I keep hearing scalpel like that too. I'm like, oh man.
Well, I was going back a little bit of a tangent, but you know, we pretty much talked up most of what we saw here at BotCon, I think. Yeah. I just recently went barreling through Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated.
Oh, yeah.
And then when all the new episodes aired, I just went blasting through them. Mm. That dark-ass, dark couple of episodes at the end.
Yeah. So I haven't seen the end. I left before... I did maybe the first 6 or 10 episodes of the second batch.
Yeah.
And then I've been catching up. I've watched through the one where there's... I'll try not to give any spoilers, but there's two Freds and two Daphne's. And I actually think one of the things that influenced my leaving Scooby was that they did that, and this is a spoiler, so anybody who's...
Okay, if you haven't watched all of season 2 yet, pause this and go watch it, because we're done talking about BotCon anyway, pretty much. So, boom. Okay, Mystery Incorporated podcast, go.
I haven't watched the end, but I don't like it being an actual supernatural thing. To me, Scooby is... That's not Scooby. That's Johnny Quest. Johnny Quest has that stuff.
Yeah.
Scooby is supposed to be completely, void of magic and supernatural.
As I was watching this, and I won't tell you what happens because you still got to see it.
I basically know, but yeah.
Yeah, I won't go into super details, but... Having watched that final arc, I watched it knowing there must be a Toon Zone forum thread somewhere that is erupting over this. Personally, I kind of enjoyed it because the show was so good and so like just dead set. There is nothing supernatural. There were parts of it that I wish were actually hallucination, but having a real supernatural thing pop up just for the very end of that show, to me, felt like it was a neat climax to have of like the one time, you know, like it's actually going to get crazy.
I know that's what the producers felt too. They're like, well, what if?
And there was a cool Velma character arc tied into it that I actually quite liked.
Right.
Of her actually having like a bit of a nervous breakdown of like, wait, this is real?
Yeah.
Like, what good am I?
They're so good about setting the seeds of that stuff, threading that stuff throughout. That is really one of the writing on that show, I think it's one of my favorite series I've ever worked on.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Like
it's genuinely funny.
Yeah.
The mysteries are really good.
And even when it got supernatural, because it took so long to do that, I didn't mind it because I was like, I know that they know they're at the end.
Yeah.
And knowing that, I feel like I can accept this because they want to take this somewhere. And the show, the final minutes of the show they're ludicrous.
Yeah.
But in a way that I am going to defend. The final minutes of the show are after all this crazy stuff, the way the show ends is almost patently psychotic and ludicrous to put on a show that any child is supposed to watch. But something about it felt like the way the show was so intelligent, I'm going to give... This is what they earned for, so many episodes of beautiful content, of clean, like, kid content that's perfect for adults.
Yeah.
To end on this ludicrous note, they earned it. It's like all those brownie points stacked up, they cashed them in right at the end. And they're like we're going to get Harlan Ellison in here. He's going to...
Yeah, what was... I had heard the story about that, too, about... Was it supposed to be? It might have been supposed to be Hatecraft again, but maybe Jeffrey Combs was busy or something.
He might have been busy even with Prime at that point.
Yeah, I had happened to run into Colette Sunderman, the voice director, at Cartoon Network, and she was telling me that she's like, so she suggested they bring Harlan back.
Yeah,
and which that's my favorite episode too, was the one with Jeffrey Combs and Harlan.
It's fantastic, fantastic.
It's like, I don't go back and watch a lot of the stuff I do, but I've watched that thing 100 times.
Yeah.
I really like how... And also, there's an Easter egg that I guess is probably just for me in that episode. There's a character called Hippie Pants from Dan Close 8 Ball comic in there. We actually got the permission from Dan Klaus to
wow.
to use that character. It was like the most obscure thing. It might be the most obscure character I've ever put in any show. But I thought, like, you know, we were putting a lot of hippies on the campus and stuff, and I thought he would be really funny to put in there.
Well, the way they brought, like, with the Harlan Ellison involvement in the end of the show, like, are you aware of string theory?
Yeah.
You know about that part.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, and you know the final moments of the show.
Basically,
they're basically driving off to the pilot episode of the old show, in a way.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that kind of worked for me. Of, like, if you're going to run this, that's, like, because I was so in love with the characters that I was like,
yes.
I don't want this to end.
Yeah.
And so to end it in a way where really it all begins again, but beneath all that, you know that these characters are there.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, it's kind of touching in a way.
It's funny because, because it definitely starts with those adventures having happened too, because they've got the museum with all the old monsters and stuff in it. So.
Yeah, and there's just something about it where I was like, if I had to pick a way to end the show, this feels like a clean, like an insane, but kind of clean way to end it that doesn't make me sad, you know, like, because it's like they're gonna go off and have all their adventures forever, and only them and Harlan Ellison know the truth. And I'm like, this, sure. Also, I love the Flim Flam moment.
Yeah, in the museum.
Yeah,
yeah.
Beautiful. That was a great build up to the Scrappy Doo moment.
Yeah,
some
wasn't
lovely
that the
stuff
same episode. Or
same
was
episode.
It?
Yeah. It's like one after the other.
Yeah.
Sometimes once you finish like watching the thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes we should sit down and have a podcast about that show.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Because I was behind in starting it, and so as I got closer to the end of season one, I was like, oh man, I'm going to get caught up. And then I found out about all the demented delays in airing that show.
Oh yeah, that's always a thing between Cartoon Network and Warner Brothers. They don't get along very well.
It was crazy. It's like, what, like a year pause at one point? Like, and it was right after the first hints of the Nibiru plot?
If you remember, they did that with animated too. There was a year between those seasons. It was crazy.
Yeah, this suddenly got really quiet in here.
Oh. Let's bring it down a little bit.
Anyway, that's BotCon Saturday.
Yeah.
And some good chat about, I meant to talk to you about Scooby-Doo for ages. Cause I think the moment I finished that last episode, I went on Twitter and I was like, all right, I know the answer's probably no. Can I buy a toy of any of these characters?
Well, they did a sort of,
the kind of sort of,
yeah. And they're not great. The one I thought maybe, like Velma looks kind of okay, but she's got, like, they put inside her glasses the original Velma's eyes, which are totally different than the one I did, you know.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I could make stickers for it and put on, you know, on the glasses, and it would, like, I'd be like, that would be almost like my Velma, but yeah, it's weird. It's some, like, I don't even remember what that company is, like some company I've never heard of.
It was like a, it sounded like it was like a TV network as a toy company.
I think it's the same company that does the Doctor Who kind of minifig.
Yeah, yeah.
They did a set of Scooby.
I forgot their name.
I think
Mega House? No,
I can't remember. But they did a set of Scooby minifigs, and they did a couple of Mystery Inc. monsters. Like, they did the Freak, which I cannot believe there's a Freak toy, you know, that children should buy. That is crazy. And they did the Man Crab, too. So,
well, I mean, and that's why I wish there was a toy line, because some of the monster designs, they were legitimately frightening.
Yeah.
And even at the very end, as supernatural as it got, like, one of the unifying elements for that Nibiru thing was that it became the eyes from the opening of Scooby-Doo. And I was like, oh my god. Like, what is real anymore?
That was something that Tony Cervoni, one of the producers, he really wanted to push the monsters and make them, you know, to the point of being, you know, where they're not completely terrifying to a little kid, but a little
unsettling at times.
Yeah,
and what I loved is when they really pushed it, there's the show had this beautiful deadpan where everyone, like, there was one character, I think it was, who even said, like, I used my degree in Hollywood special effects and super secret espionage. And I was I was like, I love how the show is deadpan, straight faced, feeding me these lines of total garbage, but in a tasty way.
Yeah.
Where because there is no supernatural things. It's just that we're never going to really, we're going to tell you why they could do all that.
Yeah.
And we're never going to listen to you if you so much as say wait.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that the one of the ideas too was that the the crimes were oftentimes very mundane crimes.
Yeah.
But they had these ridiculous plots to, you know, to pull off the caper.
There was just this great sense of like understanding ludicrous.
Yeah.
I mean, just that episode with the reggae band who fake their deaths for decades to make a zombie comeback.
You know, that was I think that was originally supposed to be a Tenacious D episode too. We were going to get them to be either rival band or something like that. So yeah.
Yeah. So much cool stuff in there.
Yeah. And it was really one of my favorite series to design too, because we got these old fashion catalogs from 1969 and 1970, and we would draw the clothing from those catalogs on the incidental characters, on the parents.
Those were so fun to look at. Like, the background characters were a treat in that show.
Yeah, it was a really, really fun show to work on.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work, but...
I don't mean to keep going on about that show, but I mean, like, I'm someone who, as a kid, just never could understand Scooby-Doo.
Oh, really?
I knew I was supposed to like it, but watching the show, I'd always just be like, ah. And we're getting Sinclair'd over here. What?
we got Sinclair'd. See ya.
Take it easy. But the thing I loved about the show is it's the first time I ever actually liked the Scooby-Doo cast.
Huh.
And that Fred is like possibly the greatest Frank Welker role ever played.
Oh my God. It was written, like, this is the genius of their writing too, is they wrote his part in Fred's voice. So when he says it sounds, you know, it becomes so real and so plausible that, oh yeah, Fred's like been like that the whole time. He's like, always been, you know, a little off.
By the end of that show, I was just like these past 2 years, Frank Welker, you know, if he retires tomorrow, he ended on a high note. He resurrected Fred and Megatron, them better, and like... And that Fred was fantastic. I was favorite character of the show.
Yeah, me too. And it's such a funny thing for that to happen, but yeah, I love Fred in that show. He's great.
Traps.
Yeah. The one thing we didn't get to do that I was watching Predator one night, the original one, and I'm like, oh, we have to have Fred like rip his shirt off and cover himself in mud to hide from a monster
with the ascot. That's the best part of that character. I'm gonna strip down naked. I still got my ascot on.
But the awesome part was like, you remember the gnome episode where he used the ascot like a, you know, like a zip line, you know, and then he, like in Chagar Gothicon, he wrapped it around, he would use it for like Action Fred, you know, tied the mouth up.
Well, that's what I loved about it is it felt like finally a show understood this, like just how dumb Fred looks
in
a way, like this tall blockhead with an ascot.
They're all catalog people too. If you look at like those fashion catalogs.
Yeah.
That's what they wore, you know. I mean, I don't think people wore those in real life.
Yeah.
It was just, like in the catalogs, you know, that was the world of the catalogs.
Yeah. Anyway, we're running long and this place got empty.
I'm sleepy.
Yeah. We should probably cut this, but,
nobody's going to listen to the Scooby-Doo part of the podcast anyway.
They better. We just got to spread. We talked about Scooby-Doo MI for a while here and we just got to spread that out to Toon Zone. That's a forum, right? Toon Zone. Is that the forum?
Yeah. It's a forum.
Yeah. All I know is whenever I look up discussion threads on... whenever I look up discussion threads on any other cartoons, I always end up with Toon Zone links.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's BotCon Saturday. We'll have one more of these for Sunday. That's been myself and DJ Dubs with Invaders. What do you guys think of Alternator Swindle?
Great head sculpt, though. Great head sculpt.
Yes, great head sculpt. I did great. I love the arm mold, especially the hydraulic wheels.
The only swindle with hydraulics, you know.
I just want you to know, I hate you all. Peace out.
Peace. And hate.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.